however beautifully built, it's just a space. But when it's doing what it's built for, when it's doing what it was created, designed to do, it facilitates life. It becomes a place of intersected stories, like strings or ropes that become just entwined. We cross each other's paths, whether it be for a moment or whether it be for an invested period of time, but we give ourselves to one another, and the outcome is beautiful. Across so many facets of this place, there is opportunity to connect. And I really believe that, particularly if you are someone that says you're a follower of Jesus, you're someone who has a faith, however simple, however complex, God's desire is that we bring life to one another. So much has happened. You know, so much has happened since we left this building 2 years ago for a season. We came back. We started to live in the mess and the chaos of this to right before Thanksgiving last year. We walked into this place that was beautiful. But the best part of that, and these are just some numbers, but what you have to do is put lives to those numbers. You know, numbers only have significance if you have an interest in what those numbers are being applied to. Like, you can count pieces of fruit, but it doesn't matter if that fruit doesn't do anything. It's just numbers. And so I hope with this that you will maybe put some faces, some bodies to it. In November 2016, 2 years ago, our gym, it was great and it was good, but there were 885 members. This time last year, 993 members. November this year, 1,156 members. That's a beautiful, 30% increase over 3 years in the number of people that are just coming to engage in health. Our passion is to see people engage in hope, in health, and in wholeness that ultimately comes in Christ. And the beauty is, even across that gym floor, you know, Joe Azar, I love your story. 9 years of walking this journey of just of gym and health until this moment came that you encountered Jesus. And this is the thing that often we don't see. There is this long thread that's being woven through all of our lives, and then Christ intersects it. Up to 300 people participating in classes a day, over 200 participants in the gym every day. We currently sponsor 29 people for different needs, people that come that just need a place to connect. And I always tell the team here, people are not transactions to be made when they enter this building. They are individuals to be loved and served. And that's what the kingdom of God is about. Some people overcoming loss, some people finding refuge, a way back to good health from domestic violence, some national champions. One of those national champions, an 80-year-old who has lived with an extended season of Parkinson's. Some have overcome serious illness, some financial hardship, but we want to be a place, an extension of life given to them until they can get back on their feet. That's the way Jesus invites us. And everyone finds this journey towards physical, mental, emotional, and we pray spiritual health. But they become a part of a community called Good Life. You know, in our pool, we built this space wondering what was going to happen in it. I remember when we were first looking at the building and we fenced it off, I would walk it at night. And there was a time I was walking it and I was praying over the space, and I felt like I just heard the laughter of children and families. And the day we opened it, when we had that huge celebration, there was just such beautiful echoes of laughter of children and families. And I feel like that's the heart of Jesus for the community we walk in the midst of. In 2017, our swim school numbers were sitting right around 287. In 2018, term one, we jumped about 90 individuals to 374. Term four of this same year, we're at 669 positions. But again, they're not just statistics and numbers. These are lives that we get to serve and intersect with on an ongoing basis. The cafe has gone from being a place of convenience to being a destination of choice for so many people. I had a conversation with a lady just about 2 months ago before I went away for a bit. And she told me that her kids had moved to here in her retirement and, you know, to be closer to her. But she said to me, I don't see any more of them than I ever did. But she said, you know what I tell everyone in my retirement village? You don't have an excuse to be lonely because good life exists just up the hill. That's her own words. She is here multiple days a week just finding that space to connect. And there's been opportunity to serve. So about 4,500 people a week, from a faith community to cafe visitors to gym classes to, you know, sports to so many different things, 4,500 throughout a week. People have always mattered. People matter now. And people will continue to matter, and may we be catalysts of the engagement to that as long as we have breath. We're a story. We're a story continually being written of thousands of lives intersected. And everyone has a vital part of that story. I hope it makes you think on your own story. You see, all of us have a past. We have a backstory. All of us have a future. And all of us have the moments that we live in right now. My prayer is that Good Life continues to be a place every day of hope, of wholeness, finding health in every area of life. I ask you to think, where does your story intersect? And a deeper question, I ask you this, have you found the hope of Jesus Christ? Have you found the hope in the words that Jesus said, come unto me, just come to me, any of you who are weary, who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He says, learn of me. For my way is easy, my burden is light. I like the way that Eugene Peterson translated it in the message. He says this, are you tired? Is there a time in your life that you just came up dry, you came up tired, you knew there was a deeper need? You're tired? You're worn out? Had enough of religion? Come to me. Jesus says, get away with me and you'll recover your life. Get away with me and you will recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me. Work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me. And you'll learn to live freely and lightly. My hope wherever you are in your story, is that you would know the peace, the hope, the fulfillment that comes in Christ. This year, we've walked all sorts of different things, some newness, some loss, some incredible joy, and some the deepest of pain. But across this entire landscape of life, the one thing I know is that God is good. He always has been. He is. He always will be. And my hope in this space is that you will choose to engage Jesus. I love where Antje, in her honesty, was like, man, I found my place in good life before I was a believer, but there came a time where she had that revelation of the love of Jesus, and she keeps walking in it. It's not religion. It's not finding routine and methodology to attain relationship with God. It is walking in the rhythms of His grace, answering His invitation to come. We confess our failings, our shortcomings, and know His forgiveness and His embrace. And the most incredible place we encounter that is on the night that Jesus was betrayed, the night that He was going to go to the cross. He sat with His closest friends, and He shared a meal that was historically called the Passover meal. And it was a time that the people knew that God had led them. And they rehearse and relive that story. And it was done over food and over wine. And it's what we call the communion today, in a sense, that Jesus took this bread and He broke it and He gave it to His friends. And He said, this is my body. This is the revelation of my sacrifice for you. And then He took a cup of wine. And we use just a simple juice. But He took this and He gave it to His friends and He said, this represents my blood, my life poured out. And then He said to His friends, whenever you do this, do it in full remembrance of me. Do it with full recognition of what I have done for you. There is nothing that will stop you coming to Jesus except our own unwillingness. He made a way that no one can ever close. There's nothing anyone has ever done that He is not fully able and willing to forgive. It's done. And in that, we get invited into the most beautiful of relationships and the fullest of relationships you'll ever know. And so this morning, I'm going to invite you. There are four tables around this room. There's one over halfway down on my right, on my left. And there's two at the front here. And whether it's your first time of choosing to engage that hope and faith in Jesus, or you've been in this space 100 times before, I invite you to come and to recognize that engagement with Jesus in your story, that hope. As we come, come with a heart that's so full of gratitude, who knows where our life paths would have gone if Jesus had not intersected it, if we had not been intersected by another. Reflect on that moment and break bread, take a cup, and with gratitude, confess your faith in Christ and your thankfulness. As the team lead us in this space, come as you feel free. Use any of these four spaces. You can come alone, come as family, come with a friend. But let's come with hearts of gratitude. I'm going to ask that we stand together. In Psalm 136, there's really a practice of what's called a communal reading or a community reflection. I'm just going to bring up six verses on the screen, and I'm going to ask that we as a community engage that line that you'll see there in yellow, and I will lead you in this first statement, but the reflective, engaged response says this: His faithful love endures forever. That's the incredible thing that we just engage in as we reflect in that communion time, in the bread and in that juice, in the demonstration of Christ's body and His blood, the sacrifice that He made. The faithful love of the Lord endures forever. And so let me lead you. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good.
His faithful love endures forever.
Give thanks to the God of all gods. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. Give thanks to Him who alone does mighty miracles. For it is He who remembered us in our weakness. Oh, give thanks to the God of heaven. Let's give Him some praise. Oh, good. Go ahead and be seated if you would. You know, there is so much good that we've seen in our own lives, that we've seen across our Good Life community, and that we've seen beyond. And however much the Lord has blessed us with incredible facility, and I really do have a simple faith and a simple hope that we will close out the debt that is outstanding on this building. We went into this project believing that the Lord would meet us, and people have borne that with faithfulness, with an invested heart and hand. We went into this building project with a cost of about $6.5 million. The balance on that loan is $300,000. My prayer ultimately is that we will clear that. There is something I really want to share with you that I believe is the extension of who we are into our community beyond this space. You know that God has really called us to four specific areas. To this center, which we know is a unique call. This last week we had a whole nother denominational group of Seventh-day Adventists come and just explore this and sit with some of the team and just look at how can we continue to see God's kingdom expand through all these different sorts of ventures. We know that He's given us that call, but we also know that there is a call to have a voice and an influence in our region. That the flow on of that will be to our nation and then in the global impact of Good Life to the uttermost parts of the earth. And the Lifehouse is really an important part of who we are. And I'd like to introduce to you, if you've never met her, the one who leads an amazing team, the heartbeat that continues to carry this on those that have gone before. Would you welcome Ruth Jeffs?
Hi, everybody. Tim asked me to just present to you what was my AGM report from the meeting on Tuesday night. Can I encourage you, when we have AGMs, make it a priority to be there. They are a fabulous time to share and to hear stories across all the different departments here at Good Life. So this is my report. How are kids' bedrooms, a violin, and a front loader washing machine connected? The answer is simple. They're part of God's economy, His provision in an unlikely place to the poor, the lonely, and those that are doing it tough. This connection happens in the bottom story of a house, filled with donations of good quality, working condition electrical items, white goods, furniture, kitchen stuff, beds, and clothing that are all given away for free. I'm talking about the Lifehouse, a resource centre on Gulf Links Road that backs onto that Good Life property just up there and is now in its 17th year. So last year at the AGM, I spoke about trying to assess where the Lifehouse fits into the framework of social services here on the coast, and more importantly, about what it should look like for us as a family moving forward. I shared my self-imposed challenge to identify what we can offer that the other social services don't. How can we, the Lifehouse, be uniquely different to all the rest out there? After asking a lot of people a lot of questions, I came to the simple answer: community. We can offer something that goes way beyond just a transaction. We can demonstrate the love of Jesus to anyone who walks down our very steep driveway without any judgment or prejudice. To do this, during the past year, intentional data collection has been in place. Using this information, it is hoped that the Lifehouse can better plan and resource the community now and into the future. Another initiative has been the tightening of the referral systems from the social welfare services that we work with so that the Lifehouse resources are better managed for all. This has also provided an opportunity for a follow-up procedure to strengthen the initial contact and relationship with clients, therefore offering further care and connection. Previously, at an initial visit, a client may have expressed a need for something, but if we didn't have it, then that was pretty much the end of that. And they would walk up that driveway and potentially disappear from that sphere of influence. But our new follow-up procedure includes a wish list, and that opens up a means to communicate that goes way beyond that initial contact. A beautiful demonstration of this was the Biwa woman who last month was re-establishing herself and kids after a fire tragically destroyed her home. After choosing all the practical stuff necessary for her to start again, Mum talked about how her daughter was particularly devastated by the loss of her violin in the blaze. But financially, there was no means for them to be able to replace it. Would you be surprised if I told you that later the same day, one was actually donated? We've never had one before and we haven't since. But we know that God hears. He hears the cry of a little girl and of an overwhelmed mum who's beginning again. And he hears the daily prayers of our Lifehouse teams, that our God would meet each person at their unique point of need. How blessed are we that we get to be a conduit for that. God using us literally as his hands and his feet to meet the very real needs of those that are doing it tough. So we're very thankful for that follow-up procedure that enabled us to get the violin into that little girl's hands. Have we got the photos? Yeah, so good, hey. This year, Lifehouse has added another day of opening and increased our team to now 28 volunteers. An average day at the Lifehouse starts with prayer, and then the men disappear in the truck, heading off to different locations to pick up donated items. Meanwhile, back at the Lifehouse, more volunteers are involved in sorting and stacking, carrying, cleaning, and repurposing, while creating an environment where visitors can find a place to be valued, to be seen, to be heard, to experience connection. Even if initially the connection is through something as simple as a washing machine. Just 2 weeks ago, we had a call from a social worker looking for a washing machine for her client who had gained housing again after a tough season. His apartment was typically tiny, and therefore the washing machine specifically needed to be a front loader to fit into his small laundry space. Just 2 days before, and for the first time ever, a front loader washing machine had been donated. It was tested and then available at God's perfect timing for this man to take. A perfect fit for his home and a perfect fit for the back of his little car. This year, over 200 men, women and children have freely accessed our resources. So beds, sets of linen, crockery, cutlery, clothing, baskets filled with kitchen utensils, electrical items, white goods, furniture, decorative items, meals and vouchers. And of late, we've been doing 2 to 3 full house fit-outs a week. One of these most recently was for a young mum who was hoping to regain custody of her 2 children, starting from scratch again. We were able to gift her everything needed to make a house into a home. In particular, it was important for the children's bedrooms to be set up well in order for her to pass the Department of Child Services inspection to approve their return to her care. We're grateful for ongoing contact with this mum, and we were able to celebrate just last week that her daughter is now living with her and that her son has started having weekend celebration sleepovers. It's good. On Wednesdays and Saturdays, the Lifehouse is also open to the public as an op shop, selling any excess items we have for just $1 or $2. This helps create some sustainability and provides great conversations about who we are and why we do what we do. From that, we've built wonderful relationships with regulars who pop in weekly to see what exciting new things we might have or to just have a chat. We have a wonderful sense of community there, where people are greeted by name and often hang out for an hour or more so they can enjoy the company of our fabulous volunteers. It truly is the best place to serve. So as this year draws to a close, my prayer is we, the Lifehouse team, and you guys, would continue to see our God work specifically and personally for those we serve. That our eyes continue to be wide open and our hearts soft to any who walk through our door. That our love and care grow, undeterred by the challenge of the physical restraints that we currently work in. We will continue to express gratitude for what is in our hands, the bottom floor of a house, where a relational God meets people at their point of need through generous donations, life-giving community, loving kindness, and a hope for their future. And we will continue to dream and plan for all that our God has ahead of us and the community that we have the privilege of serving. Thank you.
Man, how good is God? Like, we cannot just reduce our God to, you know, this hour and a half or so that we gather in buildings all over the nation and the world. And this is a God who engages people. He's declared himself in everything that he has put his hand to, and he invites us in turn to be that declaration. I tell you what, there's nothing more powerful than telling a little girl that God hears the cry of her heart and then give her the violin that the Lord's already provided 2 days before. A man who is being reestablished that needs, and the Lord goes, I know how to meet that. We become conduits of life, of grace, of health, of hope, and restoration to wholeness. It is an incredible privilege in our hand. This year, with our Thanksgiving offering, our prayer really is to close out debt and to initiate a move to take Lifehouse out of the bottom of the house up on Golf Links, which literally is at the bottom of a very steep driveway if you have never been there. And we would like to see Lifehouse relocated onto this property. We'd like to see it placed just up the back here that extends its connectedness to a community of hope. We don't want people to just come into a space and leave a space when there is such incredible opportunity to connect and engage in so much more. And so prayerfully, I really do ask you to consider, as a part of this community of hope, with a backstory of your own, with a future ahead of you, with the moments we are in, I ask you to consider what part you would play in being a part of that hope. I believe that God's kingdom is continually advancing and we are invited to be a part of that. If you want to still do the tax-exempt building fund, that's on our website at goodlife.org.au. There is a Thanksgiving button that will take you to the Australian Sports Foundation site. That's all set up. We've been doing that for a couple of years now. That is a tax-exempt option. If you bought an offering that you want to put in, or you want to write on paper what your offering is, please come and do that. We'll tally as much of this as we can in the next week or coming weeks as that comes in. But my hope is that you would come and you would just take one of these little pieces of yarn, put it around your wrist, ask someone to tie it on there for you. It's just that engaging with one another. As you look at these three simple backdrops here, there's just this crisscross of lives and lines. So as you come with a heart of thanksgiving. Come with a heart of gratitude of all that we've seen God do for so many years now, but with a heart of expectation that we still get to participate in all that He is going to do in this center, in this space of intersected lives across so many facets and beyond. My prayer is that we will move Lifehouse. That's something that's an executive we've prayed about for a couple of years now. We do believe the time is right to do it as that expands into this community. Let's celebrate together. Let's sing. There's a song that just says, give thanks to the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. And let's celebrate together. Come, if you would, and grab a piece of yarn. If you have an offering, place it in these three baskets here. And then we'll close up.
Father God, we're grateful for who You are today. God, for the stories that we've heard, the things that You've done in our midst, God, our hearts are full. And God, I pray that as we go from this place, God, that there would be an outpouring, God, of that same love that You've put in us, God, to the world around us. God, we thank You that everywhere we go, God, we can distill this moment of what You have done in our lives to love people in front of us. And so, God, thank You. Thank You. In Your Son's name we pray. Amen. Everybody said amen.